Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of acute kidney injury found under the renal section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 54-year-old man is admitted to the cardiac care unit after coronary angiography and revascularization secondary to unstable angina. Approximately 1 week after the procedure, he is found to have a bluish discoloration of the first and second digits of the foot. Laboratory testing is significant for an elevated serum creatinine. A urinalysis is benign. This is a case of renal atheroemboli. Let's continue with an introduction to acute kidney injury. Clinically, it is defined as an acute reduction in glomerular filtration rate, or GFR. Recall that the GFR represents the sum of the filtration rates of nephrons. Therefore, the GFR reflects functioning renal mass. And the pathogenesis will be dependent on the etiology of the AKI. Risk factors for AKI include hypertension, chronic kidney disease, dehydration and volume depletion, diabetes, and chronic liver or lung disease. In terms of the etiology, it may be due to pre-renal causes, which are ultimately due to decreased renal perfusion, such as in the case of hemorrhage, congestive heart failure, and diuretic use. It can be due to intrarenal causes, such as acute tubular necrosis, which may be caused by ischemia or toxicity, or it may also be caused by interstitial nephritis, glomerulonephritis, vasculitis, hemolytic uremic syndrome, or cholesterol emboli. Post-renal causes may include urinary flow obstruction, such as with benign prostatic hyperplasia or nephrolithiasis, or it can be post-operative secondary to bladder manipulation and anesthesia. Remember that bladder scans should be performed following urinary catheterization. Moving on to the presentation, symptoms may include oliguria, anuria, polyuria, and confusion, but also remember that patients may be asymptomatic. And on physical exam, one may note hypertension, edema, and decreased urine output. With regards to the differential, make sure to think about acute gastrointestinal bleeding, rhabdomyolysis, and medication-induced impairment of creatinine secretion, such as bisimetidine, trimethoprim, or pyrimethamine. In terms of imaging, renal ultrasound is indicated as the initial imaging study for assessing acute kidney injury. Remember that it can assess for renal size and hydronephrosis, and it can assess for post-renal obstruction. In terms of other studies that can be performed, labs may demonstrate an increase in serum creatinine by more than 0.3 milligrams per deciliter within 48 hours. One should also check the blood urea nitrogen to creatinine ratio. And on urinalysis, if one performs a dipstick, you may assess for protein, glucose, leukocyte esterase, hemoglobin and myoglobin, and specific gravity. On microscopy, for example, one may be able to see red dysmorphic cells, which are suggestive of a glomerular etiology, such as glomerulonephritis. One may note muddy brown casts, which suggest tubular necrosis. And if one sees white blood cell casts, this suggests pyelonephritis or acute interstitial nephritis. One should also calculate the fractional excretion of sodium, or the FeNA. If the patient is on diuretics, you should check the FeUrea instead. And one may also evaluate the urine osmolality and sodium. Now let's discuss the common lab results for different causes of AKI. For pre-renal AKI, typically you will see a urine osmolality of greater than 500 milliosmoles per kilogram, a FeNA of less than 1%, a urine sodium of less than 20 milliequivalents per liter, and a serum BUN to creatinine ratio greater than 20. For intrarenal AKI, you'll see a urine osmolality less than 350, a FeNA greater than 2%, a urine sodium greater than 40, and a BUN to creatinine ratio that is less than 15. For post-renal AKI, you'll typically see a urine osmolality that is less than 350. A FeNA may be less than 1% in mild cases or greater than 2% in severe cases. The urine sodium will be greater than 40, and the BUN to creatinine ratio can be variable. And with regards to treatment, remember that treatment is dependent on the etiology of AKI and its consequences. For example, a patient who is hyperkalemic and not responding to medical treatment should be dialyzed. As another example, a patient with a history of excessive fluid loss, such as with diarrhea or vomiting, should be given intravenous fluid. And complications related to AKI may include hyperkalemia, metabolic acidosis, uremic encephalopathy and platelet dysfunction, anemia, chronic kidney disease, and elevated troponins due to decreased renal clearance of the troponin. And in terms of prognosis, remember that there is lower rates of recovery in patients greater than 65 years of age, and that there is increased risk of end-stage renal disease, chronic kidney disease, and mortality. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to acute kidney injury, let's walk through some questions to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For the first question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 63-year-old man undergoes uncomplicated laparoscopic cholecystectomy for acute cholecystitis and is admitted to the surgical ward for postoperative management. On postoperative day 1, routine laboratory studies reveal an increase in serum creatinine to 1.46 mg per deciliter from 0.98 mg per deciliter before the operation. BUN is 37 mg per deciliter, increased from 18 mg per deciliter on prior measurement. Potassium is 4.8 milliequivalents per liter, and bicarbonate is 19 milliequivalents per liter. The patient has an indwelling urinary catheter in place, draining minimal urine over the last few hours. After ruling out urinary catheter obstruction, which of the following is the most appropriate next step in management? And the answer choices are: choice 1, obtain urinalysis. Choice 2, place a new urinary catheter. Choice 3, administer IV fluid bolus. Choice 4, obtain bilateral renal ultrasonography. Or choice 5, initiate emergent hemodialysis. The best answer to this question is choice 3, administer IV fluid bolus. This patient has experienced postoperative acute kidney injury, a common complication. His lab results and clinical picture are consistent with pre-renal azotemia, so administering IV fluids is the next best step. AKI is typically divided up into pre-renal, intrinsic renal, and post-renal causes. In this clinical situation, common etiologies will include pre-renal, from fluid shifts and decreased PO intake, medication effects such as from perioperative antibiotics, and urinary retention or kinking of the Foley catheter. This patient's BUN to creatinine ratio is greater than 20, suggesting a pre-renal etiology. IV fluids are the next best step in management. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Although urinalysis is frequently obtained to evaluate AKI, the first immediate step is to rule out obstruction at the bedside. Choice 2. Urinary catheter obstruction was ruled out, so placing a new catheter is not indicated unless a malfunction develops. Choice 4. Renal ultrasonography would be a subsequent study to obtain in evaluating AKI after ruling out obstruction and checking routine labs. And choice 5. There is no indication for hemodialysis in this patient currently. For the second question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 52-year-old woman is admitted to the surgical unit after a laparoscopic hysterectomy for uterine leiomyomas performed 2 days ago. The surgery was performed under general anesthesia, blood loss was minimal, and there were no intraoperative complications. The patient reports lower abdominal pain and discomfort. Medical history is significant for multiple sclerosis that is well controlled with ocrelizumab. Her last multiple sclerosis flare was approximately 7 years ago and presented with paresthesias and weakness of the upper extremities. Her temperature is 99 degrees Fahrenheit or 37.2 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 125 over 85. Pulse is 99 beats per minute and respirations are 19 breaths per minute. On physical exam, the patient appears restless and uncomfortable. The surgical incision sites are mildly erythematous and without discharge. There is tenderness with deep suprapubic palpation. Neurologic exam is unremarkable. Laboratory studies demonstrate a sodium of 144 milliequivalents per liter, chloride of 100 milliequivalents per liter, potassium of 4.3 milliequivalents per liter, bicarbonate of 26 milliequivalents per liter, glucose of 105 milligrams per deciliter, and creatinine of 3.1 milligrams per deciliter. Which of the following is the best next step in management? And the answer choices are: choice 1, bethanacol administration. Choice 2, bladder scan. Choice 3, IV fluids. Choice 4, urine studies. Or choice 5, urodynamic studies. The best answer to this question is choice 2, bladder scan. This patient's clinical presentation is suggestive of postoperative urinary retention. The best next step in management is a bladder scan followed by catheterization. Postoperative urinary retention resulting from impaired bladder function can be caused by bladder manipulation and anesthesia, especially spinal anesthesia. An ultrasound bladder scan is a non-invasive method of diagnosing urinary retention. Bladder scans allow for a rapid and accurate method of assessing urinary volumes. Urinary retention is commonly managed with intermittent urethral catheterization or a temporary indwelling Foley catheter, followed by a voiding trial. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Bethanacol administration can theoretically increase detrusor muscle contractility. However, it is poorly efficacious with unfavorable side effects. Choice 3. Intravenous fluids would be counterproductive to improving the patient's urinary retention. This patient's elevated creatinine is due to post-renal acute kidney injury. Choice 4. Urine studies will not only be difficult to perform with urinary retention, but there is little diagnostic value in this clinical scenario. Choice 5. Urodynamic studies have little clinical value in this scenario. The cause of her urinary retention is most likely due to anesthesia. Therefore, it is best to determine if the bladder is retaining urine and perform catheterization if indicated. Finally, a bullet summary. Bladder scan is the best next step in management in a patient with suspected urinary retention. That's all for this review about acute kidney injury. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.